Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs, MP3 files. You'll also find Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, on various topics and themes, and a host of other Bible-related material. There also will be some information about us, and we encourage you to go out there and take a look at it. Normally, we would give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study and worship period, but at the present time, we are unable to meet because of the coronavirus. And so we have been talking this month, especially, about how to deal with this present-day crisis. I want to talk to you today for just a few moments about the value of turning problems over to God. And to help us understand that, we're going to look at one example today, and Lord willing, maybe next week, look at a second. The first one we want to look at affected a nation. I would ask you to take your Bible out and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 18. And as you're turning there, let me give you a little background information that will help you put this in perspective. Israel had already been carried away into Assyrian captivity in 722 BC because of her unfaithfulness and her disobedience to the law of God. This is after the kingdom divides after the death of Jeroboam, and the northern kingdom would last 205 years. And then it would be destroyed. It would be taken into Assyrian captivity because of their disobedience. And we read that in 2 Kings 18, verse 9 and 10. Now there is another kingdom, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And the king in the southern of Judah at this time is King Hezekiah. Now it is his 14th year of reigning in Judah, and at this time, according to verse 13, the king of Assyria comes up against the fortified cities of Judah and takes them. And so now Assyria has turned their attention to try to take Judah as it has already taken Israel. And the king, through his emissary, the Rabshakeh, tells Hezekiah that he must pay tribute to the king of Assyria if he wants to protect his people and keep them from overtaking them. And so the Rabshakeh tells him that he has to pay a certain amount. And so what he does is he gives him all the temple, all the silver that's in the temple, and then he even strips the gold off the temple doors and his pillar in order to pay the tribute money, according to 2 Kings 18, 14 through 16. Now, the king of Assyria, after that, he sends the Rabshakeh back with his army to Hezekiah and gives him an ultimatum. And his ultimatum is, if he does not surrender, then he will be destroyed. And he reminds Hezekiah that the other nation that the king of Assyria has been successful against thought that their gods could defeat the king of Assyria, but they were not able to do so. And all of those nations fell one by one, and their gods were not able to deliver them. He also warns Hezekiah, if he tries to depend upon Egypt, that Egypt can't help him because Egypt cannot stand against Assyria either. And if he thinks, but in verse 22, he makes this statement. He says, but if I say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places, whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? And said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I urge you to give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses and if you're able, you on your part, to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain and the least of my master's servants, and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I not come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Helkanah, the Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshah, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. And do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. Then the Rabshah said to them, hear my master send me your words, and to you speak these words on. And with a loud voice he said in Hebrew, hear the word of the great king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from the hand. And do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you will from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one from your own cistern will drink water, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, and a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, and you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the other gods and the other nations delivered this land from the hands of the king of Assyria? And so the Rabshah, what he's doing is he's trying to discourage the people of God. And he tells them that unless they give in, that they're going to be subdued, and don't listen to Hezekiah, because the God that he serves cannot deliver him. Now, what does Hezekiah do? He's faced with a formidable enemy. He is told that they're going to destroy him. He's told him that unless they submit to his terms, that he cannot be he will be overcome. What does he do? Well, in chapter 19, verse 1 through 5, he tears his clothes. He goes into great lamenting. But I want you to notice what happened in verse number 3. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there's no strength to bring them forth. And it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshah, who the master, the king of Syria, sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Now, this is the instruction that Hezekiah gives to the prophet Isaiah. Now, notice Isaiah's answer. Then Isaiah said to them, thus says your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the word which you have heard, which the servant of the king of Assyria blaspheme me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he will hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And so through the words of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah assures them that the king is not going to come into Judah. Okay, so he has the words. He knows what the situation is. He went to the prophet of God, but did he stop there? No. In verses 14 through 19, Hezekiah takes the problem before the Lord in prayer. He pleads with the Lord on the behalf of the nation to not allow Assyria to come into the city. God's answer to Hezekiah comes beginning in verse 32 of chapter 19. And there we read, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor will an arrow be shot there, nor will he come with a shield, nor build a siege mound against it, by the way that he came, by the same way he will return. And he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, and I will save it, for my own name's sake, and for my servant David. And so Hezekiah's prayer is heard, and God assures him that the king of Assyria will not enter the city at all. So what happens? Well, in verses 35 through 37, the king of Assyria goes out to look at his troops as they're preparing to attack Israel. And the next morning when he wakes up, the king of Assyria goes out and finds 185,000 of his soldiers dead, and their corpses are lying before him. In the evening, God sent his angel, and 185,000 die in one night. The king of Assyria goes home in disgrace. But when he goes home, he is in the house of his god, the false god, and while he is in that house, his two sons rise up against him and kill him, and then they flee into the land of Ararat. And then his son reigned in his place, just like Amos told Hezekiah that he would fall in his own land. It has come to pass. But I want you to notice what Hezekiah did. He took the matter to God. He took his problem to God. He first took it to the prophet of God, and then he turned and took it to God himself. And God heard his prayer, God heard his plight, and gave him an answer through Isaiah that he would not enter the city and that he would be killed. And indeed, it happened. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what can we learn from this story in 2 Kings chapter 18? There's three things I want you to learn. Number one, there is not any problem that's too great that God does not have an answer to. Number two, God wants to help us. God desires to help us. God loves us. But we must show our faith and trust in him by reaching out to God and asking his help. In Matthew 6, verse 8, it says that he knows what we need even before we ask. But then why ask? It demonstrates our trust and our faith in him. And the third thing I would like you to learn from this story is that when you've done all you can do and you turn it over to God, then let it go. Then don't worry about it anymore. And then let God help take the burden for you. You have done everything you could do. You do what you can do. You pray and you ask God, and God will do what's best in the interest of his will. And you leave the matter there. You take it there and you leave it there. And you don't worry, you don't fret, you don't have anxiety, don't panic, and God will take care of it. That's what we need to do. We need to have the same attitude with this present distress. Do what we can, pray about it, turn it over to God, do what we can, and don't needlessly worry about things out of your control. God is greater than our fear and greater than our problems.